All right, thank you. It's great to see all of you here on our campus, and welcome everybody to join us online. Today is a special day, a day we've been looking forward to for a while. Those of you who call New Hope home, you know we've been calling it Compassion Sunday, and you saw the Compassion Experience set up in the parking lot on your way in. I know a lot of y'all have already participated in that, but I just want to take a minute and let you know what Compassion International Ministries is. It might be something you've heard about before, but maybe you don't know all the details about this organization. It's based out of headquarters, or in Colorado Springs, Colorado, but as you're going to see today, that's just where the headquarters is. The reach is actually all over this world. And what Compassion does is Compassion's aim, focus, mission, purpose is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And that last phrase, in Jesus' name, is, in my opinion, what separates Compassion from other organizations. There are plenty of other organizations committed to eradicating global poverty. We're grateful for those. But the way Compassion does it is by partnering through churches here, like New Hope Church, and then churches in each one of these nations. And so what this means practically is when you sponsor a child through Compassion, for $43 a month, that child is able to have nutritious meals. They're able to be able to go to school for the first time. And most people don't know that in a lot of other countries, public education isn't free. It's actually something you have to pay for. So they're able to get uniforms to go to school. They're also able to participate at the church. They're able to receive medical care. And all of those things, whether it's the meal, the medical care, the school, the education, happens in the local church that the child in the community, the village that the child lives in. And so this past January, Morgan and I, we were actually down in the Dominican Republic on a trip with Compassion, with some other pastors and their wives. And Compassion's really been a part of my story since I was 12 years old. So when I was 12 years old, we sponsored a child named Rosa who lived in Bolivia. And we got to know Rosa. We wrote letters back and forth with her and watched how God moved in her life and how God moved in our lives through that relationship. And then when Morgan and I got married, we've sponsored numerous Compassion children over the years. They graduate at age 18. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about the children that we're currently sponsoring at the end of our time together today. And so this has been kind of a part of our just walk with the Lord for years. But in January, we're down in the Dominican Republic. We're with some other pastors and their wives. We were at a Compassion Center all day serving, meeting some of the kids, the local ministers, the adults that serve the children there and minister to them. And then that evening, we went to dinner, and a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Almonte got up to share. And he just shared such a powerful story. And church, as he was sharing, I literally prayed, Lord, if there was ever a way that Jonathan could come share with us at New Hope, that would be pretty awesome. I don't know if you end prayers, if y'all end prayers with the phrase, that would be pretty awesome. But here's what I've recognized. God's cool with us ending prayers that way, y'all, all right? That's kind of how I ended my prayer. Well, a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call that said, because typically that would take a few months. I'll just be honest. That takes some scheduling, some planning. I got a phone call that said, hey, listen, there might be the possibility the first Sunday in April for us to do a Compassion Sunday at New Hope, have the Compassion Experience, and for Jonathan to come share. Is that something you would be interested in? I said, let me pray about it. Yes. All right. That one didn't take long to make that decision. Easiest decision I made all week. So here's what the blessing is going to be today. I could tell you all day long about what Compassion is and the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of the organization, but you're going to get to hear today why Compassion exists and just the impact that it's making literally all over the world. And you're going to get to hear Jonathan share his story. You are about to be blessed. It is going to be incredible. So let me tell you how this is going to work. I'm going to throw it to a video here in just a second. It's going to tell you a little bit more about his story. And then when the video ends, Jonathan's going to be out here and he's going to share today. So when that video ends and when the lights come on and when Jonathan sees all of y'all, I want him to experience the loudest, most just raucous North America, North Carolina welcome he's ever had in his life. That's y'all's end of the deal today. Y'all got that? All right, cool. Take a look at this video.
I was born in the middle of an era in the Dominican Republic. There was a lot of crime, people being killed. That was our reality. My mom used to work in a factory. She was making, like, back in the 90s, like $1 a day. I didn't need 4 days. In fact, there were days that I could only eat a cookie because that was all we could get. I do remember going to the streets to sell juice and empanadas. We couldn't eat it because that was the only money to pay the place where we were. To my shame, I wanted to be a gang member. This guy selling drugs in my neighborhood had nice clothes and nice sneakers and nice shoes. And every day I was on the streets looking for cardboard to put it inside my shoes in order to walk. But the one thing that I learned to be was to be aggressive and to fight. You learn to hide your emotions. There was so much trauma. And there was so much brokenness in my life. And my mom said, the reason we are in poverty is because there is not a man at home. When I got into the Compassion Center, I was 7 years old. It was my house. The church was like a house where I felt safe, where I had food. But I don't want to portray the nice story that things started to change immediately. I was fighting in the center for 5 years. I gave them all reason to keep me out. The worst fight happened when I was 12. I was buying something to eat outside of the center, and another boy came and pushed me. I punched him into the sidewalk, and immediately his eyes got open and his mouth. And so he ended up in a coma. I was taken to the Compassion Center director, and I was sitting there crying. I knew the end was coming. She took my face off, and she looked at me and she said, "Jonathan, why you fight? You don't have to fight. We love you." And that's the moment that I started reflecting on the path that I was taking. By the grace of God, my friend woke up from the coma. What I rightly deserved was to be kicked out of the Compassion Center, and they didn't do it. The same way Jesus died on the cross without us deserving any grace at all, that was the gospel right there. And that's the turning point in my life. After getting baptized, it's when I got many opportunities. There were godly men who portrayed me the humble heart of Christ. They saw the material for a leader to be made. I got the opportunity to join Compassion. It was a blessing to me. Right now, I serve with Compassion International as manager of supporter engagement. But I also work in a form of public relations for Compassion here in the DR. I believe God brought me to Compassion to educate people who could have a voice for those children without hope, to understand that this is beyond sponsorship itself. But it is about helping local churches in need to be what God wants them to be, and the church to be the church. Spreading hope, not only for the children that God has allowed us to serve, but the many, many more children that we're not serving right now. I am a testimony on how hope spread to me. Now is the time to give to others.
Thank you. Thank you, New Hope. This is for sure the best North American, North Carolina that I have had. Please receive greetings from Compassion in the Dominican Republic, the staff there, and also from Pastor Ezekiel in the church that you support in Las Lomas. God bless you. My story begins way back with my grandparents. When we think about poverty, we tend to see those aspects of poverty that are related to material need, which is poverty indeed, but we don't often see the spiritual need that evolve around poverty. And so for me, my story begins with my grandparents, both of them witchcraft priests. There's a lot of Santeria, voodoo, and witchcraft in our context. And they both worship demons. So people will come to my grandparents' house to worship demons. And in these contexts of a spiritual darkness, there was abuse in all of its forms. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. And in this context, my mother was abused by an uncle, ran away from family, ended up homeless in Santo Domingo, 3 hours away from the area where my grandparents were. By the way, an hour deep southwest of Las Lomas, where Pastor Ezekiel is pastoring. And now she's in this big city without a place to sleep. She found this small kind of a gas station, small restaurant. Well, people will come and will sleep in the back of the small place in a table in her resting time. It was ideal because it was open 24 hours. So that allowed her to be there and without a house working. My father, an alcoholic, used to come to this place, and that's how they met. My mother saw him as a way out of her reality to sadly realize later that he has a wife and 4 daughters. There is no way he will take care for her. And now she's homeless, pregnant, and my father wants her to abort. Thanks God she didn't do it. That's the reason I'm with you today. Praise the Lord. I always say that poverty found me right at the womb of my mother. Children in poverty and moms also in poverty die out of preventable causes, like drinking a specific vitamin that while pregnant you need. Those basic things in a context of poverty means life and death for a child. And so for my mom, who didn't have any prenatal care, that means the lack of calcium. And when my teeth were growing, I have calcium failure. And they basically grew up dark and they almost fall down. And so even though we were in such a big need, homeless and without resources, she was quite smart. So now I say that, I didn't appreciate that at the moment. But here's the thing, she went to a public university. My mouth is a mess. She talked to a professor in this university and she made a deal. Basically, she said, you can have my son's real mouth to practice with your 20 students and I can get the medical need that I need for him, which is really brilliant if you think about that. The reason I say I didn't appreciate that at the moment is because they will use a force jacket, they will tie me to a bed, and they will use an open mouth metal machine that I hope you have never seen. I know I'm describing a trauma, and even though I ask, every time I ask if there is a dentist, nobody raised their hand. But let me tell you, brother or sister in the dentist practice, I don't hate you anymore, but I used to. And thanks God, God provided that means for my teeth, by the way, to be real. These are real teeth. I am deeply thankful for these women who, by the way, eventually this professor came to Christ through my mom. God used our brokenness and sufferings to bring about the gospel. But there is this lack of dignity where you are in this very traumatic context for the sake of providing for the health. That's how poverty looks like. I do remember, as you saw in the video, working on the streets, looking for plastic, and looking for things, in this case, selling empanadas and juice. I always share with youth, both in the DR and here in the United States. And I often say that I used to be a diver. Therefore, children especially, they react and they say, have you ever seen a shark? And I always say, of course not. Thanks God, not in the same space of water. I hope I never seen one in that context. But I wasn't a diver in the Caribbean Sea. I was a dumpster diver. And what a dumpster diver does is basically diving literally into garbage, looking for plastic and metal to recycle in order to eat something. And for me, that was at least a piece of bread so I could eat. When you grew up in poverty, you don't understand poverty. You don't understand aspect of poverty. I do remember I didn't have a uniform to go to school. You need a uniform to go to school in the DR. And I remember a neighbor, a child, a boy about my same age, he was able to go to school. He had a uniform and I didn't have one. So I asked my neighbor for a uniform. My mom will frequently ask, and I will go with his uniform 4 hours in the morning, run back at noon and give his uniform so he could go back to school in the afternoon. I later realized he was a sponsored child and that's why he had a school uniform. My shoes were broken, as you saw in the video. And so I had to take cardboard and put it inside my shoes. But they eventually started flipping. And we call those shoes in the DR hungry shoes when they flip-flop. I don't know here, but I have heard people in the U.S. call them talky shoes. So I always say mine were both hungry and talky at the same time because they really were broken. So again, my mom knew the way out of poverty was through education. Therefore, she sometimes will take even tape and tape my shoes so I could go to school. And of course, even though I appreciated that, I didn't appreciate that at the moment and I needed to go to school, you face bullying. People make fun of you because of the need that you're going through. But those are the aspects of poverty that you go and you don't understand. I remember going to school one day and I'm arriving and I'm shaking, feeling cold. It's 95 Fahrenheit weather and I'm feeling as cold as I'm feeling right now, which didn't make sense. By the way, I'm thankful for the weather in North Carolina. It's great. We have two seasons in the DR, summer and summer. So this is great. And so I'm arriving there and I'm shaking and then suddenly they always gave me a cookie. I never understood that if you don't eat, because I didn't eat the day before, my blood sugar came down. And that's what happened with your blood sugar. I didn't understand that. I remember my mom got a headache and I gave her a cookie. If a cookie healed me, whatever that does, it can deal with a headache. So that's how you see poverty. That's how you understand poverty. One of the reasons I wanted to be part of this gang in my ghetto, it's because, again, you don't understand those aspects of poverty as a child. If you will have asked me while growing up, Jonathan, what is your biggest need? For sure, I will have said, I need a better house to be out of this very, very tiny shack where we are. I need food to eat. And for sure, I will have said, I need Jordans. Air Jordans, I will have told you. And the reason is these guys in the gangs in my ghetto, they had Jordans. They're Jordans in the 90s. You could get killed in the DR by wearing those shoes. And by the grace of God, we were introduced to this local church in our community. As Pastor Adam explained, this work of compassion is with local churches. So you don't know about compassion. I didn't know about compassion and all this branding thing. It was just a local church serving food for the children, two meals a day, which I needed, school supplies. So I needed that, medical checkup in a private context without the force jacket. I need that. And And so we applied. 2 weeks later, I got into this Compassion Center. And because I want my story to be as honest as possible, and for you to understand, the issue of poverty is complicated. It took me 5 years into the church fighting, as you saw in the video, but God was gracious to me. And one way, no, wasn't only by having my very first uniform. They gave me the 2 meals a day, so my mother will only worry about 1 meal a day, and then they provide me with shoes. They were not Jordans, but they were good shoes to go to school and to have my food safe. And another blessing of being part of the center was my sponsor. I have 14 years of letter writing back and forth with Jamie, my sponsor here, and I would like to share with you some of her letters to help you understand the impact that you can have by sponsoring a child. This is a very small note, one paragraph letter that she sent me one day, random. Good afternoon, Jonathan. I wanted to send you a little note to let you know I was thinking about you. It is getting warm up here in Michigan. Love, Jamie. One paragraph. But follow me. Even though she's just writing about, I'm thinking about you, my father, remember, I was born out of his marriage. I'm meeting my father once a month for 5 minutes in different places. It was an FBI relationship, very weird. Didn't understand why. And he has never called me to say he was thinking about me. Whatever warming up Michigan is, which by the way, I don't want to be there. Remember, it's summer and summer in the DR. Bad geography. I didn't understand where Michigan was. Now I know. She was really excited about the heat. This woman is thinking about me, and that really makes my day. There is this emotional need that children face in poverty that we need to be aware. The second letter that I want to share with you, which is very important, say at least two things. Hello, Jonathan. Happy 15th birthday. Jamie remembers my birthday every year. And in a context where you never grew up listening, I love you, I believe in you, we take that for granted. But when you are in a context of emotional support, there's the mean of emotional words of encouragement, you really believe you're not worthy. You don't have value. And so Jamie remembered my birthday every year, so that made me feel special. My father, I've never called me for a birthday, maybe once. And this woman from here, she says, I send love and prayers from Michigan, United States. Remember my birthday every year. Very interesting. At the very end, she says, keep on preaching. That is wonderful. Let me give you the context here. So after that fight with my friend, I was forgiven. And I'm grateful for the church and my friend's family. And I didn't get to jail. I got baptized, came to Christ, and my church, which by the way, this will be exactly what Pastor Ezekiel will do in Las Lomas. They gave me a mic to preach to other kids who are misbehaving, just like I was, to lead them to Christ, a testimony. So the mistake is I had a very bad theology. I put Jesus in the womb of the fish and Jonah in the cross. So the context is this. Jamie wasn't aware she was promoting heresy. That you keep on preaching, that is wonderful. That's what's happening. But I hope, Pastor Adam, it counts that children got saved that day. I hope that counts. Maybe the most important letter that Jamie sent me came in a very difficult moment. Moving forward, I got baptized after that fight, 12, now 14. One day, suddenly, a Saturday, two of my uncles, my father's brothers that I have never met, came to my small shack, and my mother introduced me to them, and then I'm invited to a meeting with my father's family. His wife, my four sisters, my grandparents. My grandfather died 6 months after that encounter. I wouldn't meet him otherwise, which I'm grateful. Met cousins, aunts, uncle, and I am overwhelmed because it's like 50 people and everybody's looking at me and they're saying, yes, you are like cause. You look al monte. It was beautiful. A year passed, never talked to my father. I was afraid. And then one day, meet in the spot that we used to meet, my father interrupted me and said, why you did that? He was visibly angry. And I said, why did what, Dad? And he said, you made my family without my permission. Neither you or my brothers have the permission to get involved in my life. You have to understand you're a mistake in my life. Let me tell you, church, that's a poverty I wasn't ready to deal with. I learned to deal with the lack of shoes, clothes. When I was hungry and I didn't have anything to eat, I will sometimes take water and sugar and drink it, and that will level up my blood sugar. That is the way I will deal with that kind of poverty. When my shoes were broken, I will take cardboard and put it, make a sole, put it inside my shoes. I knew how to deal with the material aspects of my poverty. I wasn't ready to deal with that spiritual poverty and that emotional poverty. And this is a moment that I am both hating my father and I'm hating God. It doesn't make sense that in church they're saying that God is a great God. He loved me. He has a great plan. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm one of the children of Abraham, but my father hates me. And from the very beginning, from the womb of my mother, everything seems to be against me. But the reality is I was arguing with God. Nobody gave me a menu to be born where I was born. I was just born. And God's answer was Jamie's letter to me. Greeting Jonathan from Michigan. We received our first dusting of snow today on Thanksgiving. Today is a great day to reflect on all the things that I am thankful for, and you are one of those that I am greatly thankful for. It is because of Jesus' birth that we can have hope and assurance of eternal life after death. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In Christ's love, Jamie. She thinks she sent a very simple letter, but three things in the letter. Number one, I had no idea why she mentions Michigan in every letter. Have you realized that? She's very proud about Michigan, or I have a bad memory, because I'm like, Jamie, do you remember you mentioned Michigan in all the other letters? That's one thing. And then the second thing is, whatever Thanksgiving is, no idea what that is. I love turkey, though. I wish we could have turkey and Thanksgiving in the DR. But she is plain. On Thanksgiving, Americans are thankful about things. And this woman took the time to remind me that she was greatly thankful for. God, brothers and sisters, didn't provide a father, but he did provide a community, a local church, the body of Christ, who took me from the hands of the devil and darkness and rescued me and led me to light. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. God provided a community. And there, my hope and assurance never came from my earthly father, but from the finished work of Jesus in the cross. Can you see the gospel in the letter? Jesus was given to me when I didn't deserve it, Ephesians 2:11. With Jamie's letter, it was God facing me, helping me to understand I have been providing to you through my church. I have been taking care for you. And therefore, I called my father crying, shaking. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry to be a mistake in your life, but you have to admit that I am the best mistake you have ever made. God took me a year. I was crying. I wasn't as confident as I am right now, but God restored our relationship. I think there is a picture with my father. We now have a very good relationship. This is my oldest son, JD. He's 7. This was actually last December. We were together in a family meeting. I want you to meet Jamie, my sponsor. She's my hero. Jamie is in her 40s. She's a mom of 4. And back in 2016, that was a dream come true, being able to meet her and go through this letter and to see her story in one of the trucks. The Compassion Experience is here. My story is there, so I invite you to go and experience it. And Jamie told me, Jonathan, I never imagined that a simple mom could make such an impact in someone's life. And that was a great moment for me now with a better theology, not the Jonah and Jesus theology. And I said, Jamie, discipleship is always supernatural. It's never a simple thing. Meaning, sponsoring a child and then now joining a local church in need and supporting that local church by leading that child to Christ, it's discipleship that's supernatural. Think about this. She sent me all these letters for 14 years, and I told him, Jamie, 30% of the New Testaments are letters. I'm not saying that your letters were canonicals, but I'm saying those letters in the New Testaments were meant to encourage Christians who were suffering. And God used your letters in my suffering to point me out to Christ. My mom, while I was attending the center, she was able to go to university. It took her 10 years, but she's not in poverty anymore. She became a professor. And she came to Christ, and my grandparents were introduced to the gospel through her, and they died as followers of Jesus. Can you see the ripple effect impact that God did? That's the reason sponsoring a child goes beyond just one child, but a church, a community, a family. And today is a beautiful day, historic day for me, because it's the first time ever that my mom is with me with a Compassion event. And so my mom is here. Mami, se puede levantar. Thank you. And God also blessed me with a wife. I have a wife and two sons, Jonathan David and Jonathan Edwards. Because my wife might be watching, making my wife happy is the hardest work. So therefore, I'm happy that it's only one wife. I cannot make happy two wives. My wife I'm joking. And then lastly, I would like you to meet Jonathan in a package. This is a picture of me in one of my package when Jamie saw me and picked me in that event. And the reason I wanted to see this picture is because Ambassador Adam will lead us into the logistics. Outside, there are packages of children. But I want you to understand these are real children being served by real churches. The uniqueness of New Hope is that you not only are today sponsoring one child, you are partnering with the local church in the Dominican Republic and in other countries. You're partnering with local churches, spreading hope, spreading the gospel, and this is it. Sponsorship is not a transaction. It's not about sending a small amount of money for a child in need. The reality is this. Imagine that I will receive resources, but not the gospel. I will be well-equipped, well-fed, hating my father. Prepare for hell. But now, because of the gospel, because of Jesus, I was forgiven, and now I extend the forgiveness for my father. Church, the biggest need these children in these packages are facing is not lack of shoes, lack of clothes. They need that support in order to develop. And we do that. We love to do that. But their biggest need is Jesus. They're facing eternity and their families without Christ. And I am deeply thankful for you for considering a sponsored child today. New Hope, I love you. We love you. God bless you.
So got a few things I'm going to share with y'all, and then we'll be done. But before we do that, Jonathan, we wanted to bless you today before you left. And you are in North Carolina, which is the birthplace of Jordans and kind of a very wake. So we've got you a pair of Jordans. Come on back up here. I told you you're going to be blessed today. I need you to listen to me for a couple minutes and we'll be done. There's been a lot of amazing things happen in this room. We've experienced God moving, certainly in a number of different ways. I really believe that today has the potential to be probably the most kingdom advancing move of God that he's ever done in the life of this church. When you really stop and think about the story that Jonathan just shared and you think about the opportunities that we now have in front of us, it's pretty substantial. And like Jonathan said, this is a relationship. It's discipleship. It's how God set this thing up, y'all, with the church. And for $43 a day, you can literally, $43 a month, rather, you can literally change the future trajectory of a child. So I'm going to dismiss you in just a minute. There's a tent out there. We've got children, Dominican Republic, Tanzania, Peru, the Philippines. You feel led to wherever the Lord leads you, to whatever child he leads you to. But let me just say this for a second. We've been an initiative now for quite a while as a church. Maybe you're new and you're hearing about this for the first time. Those who call New Hope Home, y'all know about this. Our Next 22 initiative, renovating our kids' space. And I've said this a number of times, and I want to make sure I keep saying this over and over. It's never been about the space. It's about the kids and the next generation in the space. And we've just gone all in as a church with the next generation. We believe to our core that the kids and the teenagers that we're investing in today, that when they're adults, it will be more difficult to walk with Jesus then than it is now. So we're going all in now with the next generation. But just for a second, church, listen to me. We can't just be all in with the next generation here at New Hope. God has a greater calling than that. We can't just be in all in with the next generation in our local community. God has a greater calling than that. And what I love about the opportunity we have through Compassion is that we can actually reach and disciple the next generation all over the world. And just for a second, if you think about how many Jonathans are sitting right now in these countries that we've partnered with today, and that you may be the person that by God's divine appointment, he's brought into that child's life to raise them up for such a time as this, to one day make a kingdom impact in their country. And for us to all get to do this together, it really is remarkable. So here's the thing. We did this a few years ago as a church, and it was a great day. And a lot of children were sponsored that day and were blessed that day. And some of you maybe have even were here that day. Some of you maybe started attending since then. So I was kind of asked and, you know, emailed, texted, like, you know, what's the goal? Like, how many kids do we want to sponsor today? And y'all, I've been praying about this for about a month, and I never felt like the Lord led me to a number. And, you know, I'm not going to get up here and just tell y'all something if the Lord hasn't led me to that. I hope y'all like that about me. Like, I'm not just going to, like, say anything. So I've been praying about this, and as recently as this morning, I'm still praying about the number. I'm like, hey, Lord, it's today. I don't know if you know that. It's today. And still, like, no, just, like, go for this, go for this. And so I got here today and I'm walking around talking to everybody. And I finally felt impressed by the Holy Spirit that the Lord just said, well, ask them how many packets they brought. So I said, how many packets y'all bring? And they said 400. I said, well, that's the number. That's the number. And here's the thing, church. I challenged our 9 o'clock service with this. They're not taking any packets with them. If God led them to bring 400 packets to us today, that's how many kids God knew we were going to sponsor today. So you get to be a part of this miracle today. How amazing is that, okay? Now look, y'all, the 9 o'clock service, they kind of stepped up. So out of 400 packets, there's only 167 left. So can we just celebrate that for a second, okay? Which means y'all gonna have to make a mad sprint out of here when I dismiss you in a second to make sure you get one of those. Because we're not gonna leave any packets today. Some of you are like, man, I gotta go get my kids. Your kids are fine, promise you. And they're in somebody else's care. Take advantage of it for another 20 minutes, all right? You go on out there, you prayerfully ask which child the Lord would have you to sponsor, then you get them. Our adults are great with them. But I gotta say one last thing before I dismiss you to the tent to go out there and follow through with the obedience I know God's calling you to. We are in the middle of this sacrificial giving. Many of you have made monthly commitments. For a lot of you, $43 a month on top of that, like, you're good. I mean, some of y'all spend $43 a week at Starbucks, right? So you'd be fine, okay, with $43 a month. But just for a second, for some of y'all, you've already stretched yourself in this sacrificial season and you're thinking, man, I feel compelled by the Lord right now. I want to be a part of this, but Pastor, I mean, I'm already stretching myself sacrificially with this. I want to free you up for a second. And I actually have the authority to do this as your pastor. So I don't want you to feel any guilt of what I'm about to say, because I know how this works, okay? This is why a lot of churches won't do a special day like this in the middle of a giving season, because people are already giving sacrificially. So they don't want to ask people to give sacrificially, you know, when they're already doing so. But here's the thing, y'all. Most pastors, most churches won't do that. I'm not most pastors and we're not most churches, okay? That's not how we're going to roll. But if that's where you're at, listen, go ahead and just subtract the $43 a month from what you've pledged with the giving. I'd much rather you do that and be involved in what God's calling you to. That project's going to be finished by God's grace. We're going to see that through. But I want you to be a part of what God's calling, because listen, I've been doing this for a long time, over 30 years with Compassion. As much as you think you're going to be a blessing to another child, you're the one that's going to get to experience the blessing. God's going to move in your life like never before through this, okay? So I'm going to pray here in just a minute, and then I'm going to dismiss you, and I want you to go out there to that tent. I want you to find a packet, and I want you to sponsor the child. Now, once those 167 packets are gone, okay, we do have a plan to make sure that we can still sponsor more kids, all right? We're going to put it up here on the screen for you. You can text HOPE to 83393. Once we run out of packets. I want to make sure I stress that, okay? I want us to be faithful to steward what God's brought to us today, but I also don't want 400 to be the lid, so if we end up sponsoring 500, that's wonderful, okay? But there is a way that we can do this digitally beyond just the packets on the table. There's a lot of folks out there that can help you with that. If you're technologically challenged like me, that's okay, all right? But we'll get those kids sponsored, the 167, and then like I said, we have that available to text and see that through as well. Hey, thanks for being here today. Like I said, I think this is going to be one of the biggest kingdom advancing days in the history of our church. So I'll pray, I'll say amen, and then you'll be dismissed to go to the tent. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the story that you have told, that you are telling, and that you will continue to tell through Jonathan's life. And thank you that we got to be a part of that today. And God, as I think about all of the stories that are sitting out there in those packets on the table, God, I can't help but imagine all that you want to do moving forward. God, I'm grateful that you are a God who does immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. God, I'm grateful that you sent your son into the world who said, "Let the little children come unto me." God, I'm grateful for a church like New Hope that says we're all in with the next generation. God, would you expand our vision? May we never put a lid on what it is that you want to do, what you're calling us to do. So God, you lead us, and as you do, we'll be faithful to follow through with the obedience that you've called us to. God, thank you again for today. Thank you for being here with us in this space, for meeting with us as a loving father. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for being here today. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.